Christ, that music's loud. Turn that off. Predictably Drunk, episode 5. Thank you for listening to the first four. I assume you listened to the first four. Hopefully you survived the Jeremy Curry podcasts. I want to thank Jeremy Curry again for being here for a couple of weeks. I only invited him for 1 week, but he didn't leave. So he stuck around for a second episode, which I'm really glad he did because we got to talk a little bit about everything some more. But thank you. Welcome back. Fun weekend for me personally. Had a nice mix of sports, drinking, and comedy, which is if I could do that every single weekend, then my God, what else is there? You know, maybe sex. Maybe if I could have added a little bit of sex with somebody other than myself, then that might have made it a little bit better. But Jesus, sports, comedy, and drinking, there's not much better off in life. So I went to, I'm a big hockey fan. I'm a Los Angeles Kings fan, and they happen to be playing this weekend. You're going to be listening to this a week later, but this weekend that we're recording this, actually, I went to Levi's Stadium, home of the 8-8 San Francisco 49ers. and the LA Kings went in and mollywopped those San Jose Sharks like they usually do this time of year, and especially when it comes to playoff time. But just a fun atmosphere outside, 70,000 people. 35 of them were hockey fans. The rest were just Norteños that showed up, which was great. I only had one death threat against me the entire night, and it was before the game. And wouldn't you know it, if it wasn't just like this crazy drunk ass, I think he was actually wearing like a Denver Broncos jersey, so it didn't make any sense whatsoever. I was just like, you know what? You talk a good game, Denver Broncos, but much like Peyton Manning, come playoff time, you're just going to disappear, so I'm not afraid of your death threat. And after that, follow that up with a fun night, a redemption night for me at the San Jose Improv. I've been at the San Jose Improv, I think, 4 times now. And the time before this one was probably the largest audience I've been able to do comedy in front of so far, which was about 425 people. And I bombed badly, badly, to the point where they actually played music to get me the fuck off the stage. And I really wanted to hang myself. And usually when you bomb in comedy, people know enough to stay away from you because you're kind of toxic, right? But this time, I guess it was so bad that people needed to make sure that I knew how bad it was. So that didn't really help matters. But last night, went up there, tried some new stuff, getting ready for my Hawaii gigs on March 14th and 18th. And I think it went really well. And everybody, every comedian that was there that night, last night, did fantastic, including the guy who's joining me this week, fellow comedian. My comedy twin, my comedy brother.
No, we're twins.
We're twins.
Nice.
I think you're the good-looking one.
Wait, are you Danny DeVito or are you Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, clearly I'm the parts left over. I'm the crap left over. So I'm right. Danny DeVito.
All right.
But cool. I'm joined here by Abel Jaramillo, fellow comedian, comedy show producer now.
Wow, look at me.
Look at you.
I'm a producer and a comic, and you are a podcasting engineer. Is that what label we're going to throw on this?
Well, I think what you're referencing are the technical difficulties I had prior to coming on the
there
air, so that's not very nice of you.
Well, it is what it is. And
it's working now.
Great. We're good.
We're good.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, man.
You are in the studio here.
We are in the studio.
Beautiful.
We've affectionately labeled the studio the garage just because we think it'd be funny to let everybody, you know, pretend that we're in like my garage or something. But we're in a class studio here. It's just Abel, myself, and all the equipment we can have. There it is.
That's the glass.
That's the glass of the window of the producers looking at us right now saying, please quit hitting
I'm waving to said producer right now.
Hello. but once again, Abel Jaramillo joins me. He was on the show with me at the San Jose Improv. In fact, we usually follow one another.
Yes.
Kind of flip a coin to see who goes first sometimes.
Well, it was Black History. It still is Black History Month right now. And that's exactly why we were on. It was kind of a reverse affirmative action thing. For every black guy they had, there had to be at least one beige and one half-breed.
Yeah, so. Well, they needed somebody who could, you know, pick the lock to get in, hence why Abel was there as the Mexican. And they needed somebody who had good enough credit to keep the lights on for the entire show,
boom.
Hence why the white guy, Sam Marcoux, was there. But it was a good show. How do you feel your set went? You went well?
It went well. Yeah. It was actually my first time going up first. You know, the host goes up, actually does, you know, good 10 minutes. But the next comic after that, I have never been the first guy, quote unquote. So I went up, I tried a few new things right at the beginning, and then rolled into some standard stuff that I've got. And I felt it went well. I had a lot of drunk people come up after the show and tell me how cool I was.
You had fans after that.
I had fans.
I saw it.
Yes.
It's always cool when you're a comic and fans come up to you and tell you how great you did. It's not cool when you're a comic, when you're standing next to the comic who's getting all the all the accolades, and then they just look at you like, what the fuck are you looking at me for, and then move on.
I tend to just kind of hang my head, and that's when I just smile. Usually I leave, actually. I'm a big leaver if I really bomb, because it's, you know, it's bad.
Well, who the hell wants to stick around if you bomb? Honestly, the last thing I want to do is hang around and watch people laugh at other people. I mean, you're inviting me to do one thing when I go on that stage, and if I didn't accomplish it, the last thing I want to do is hear other people do it better than I do.
That's very true. That is shitty. But you know what? That's why you never watch anybody, okay? You just walk away.
Have you ever watched anybody on a show before your set? You don't watch the other comedians, do you?
Sometimes I do. I'm starting to now more because I'm vomiting less before I go on stage. So that's a good thing. So now what I'm trying to learn is, which is something you're very good at, is hosting. And to host better, you actually have to be at the show.
Yeah.
You have to be in the moment, listening to these other guys' jokes, and maybe you come up with something to go on top of it, but it's almost topical. So I'm more used to doing a set where I go off, I know what I'm doing, I've got it in my head, I'm doing 10 minutes, I'm going up, I'm hitting this, that, bang, 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 and then I'm off.
So you do a lot of showcases, a little bit of featuring, you know, like you said, last night was your first time opening. The difference between, I mean, people would think the host is really opening, and in a way they are, but the host is really out there to kind of, for people that don't know, the host is out there to kind of test where the audience is at, what's going to work, what isn't going to work.
As a host,
you got to figure out for the other comedians, you got to eat that shit sandwich sometimes. You go, look, they're not responding to race shit, they're responding to drugs and alcohol, or you know what, this seems like a sports heavy crowd. You got to throw a bunch of stuff out there. You can't be selfish and do your own, you know, what's going to kill act. Sometimes you got to go explore for the sake of the rest of the show. And then you can come back as a host, like you said, in between people's sets, and then hit some of your stuff.
And then it actually makes the host look a little bit more clever.
Yeah.
You know, you can still lean on your stuff.
You just ease into it with an introductory joke in between the sets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Banging on it. You know what I mean? And so, which, like I said, something you're good at. It's something I have to work on. Hosting really isn't my thing just yet, but whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Jeremy about this, and for people that don't know, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit, Abel and Jeremy Curry, who was my host the last few episodes, are actually cousins. And I tried to do this family tree, and it seems like the branches just kind of run right back into each other. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But one of the things that back to where I was going with that, opening is tough. Because when you open, you're the first. People don't look at the host as a comedian, right? And I kind of yelled at you one time when you were hosting, because you said, are you ready for your first comic as you were hosting? And I said, don't do that. Don't sell yourself short as a comedian, because hosting, you are a comedian. You just have a different role.
You get more time. You're up there for longer than you would normal set.
Right. But a lot of times people, their mindset in the audience is that the host is not a comedian. He's a host. She's a host.
The MC.
So the first true comedian that goes up there is your opener. And last night you were the opener.
Yes.
And usually you've got to have a lot of energy because they're expecting funny. And you don't have a long leash when you're the first comedian that comes out as the opener. You get about 10 seconds before they're like, this guy's going to shit all over.
Either you go in there and you club them like a baby seal, or you go in there and you flounder, and you don't want to flounder. That's why you got to go up with something hard. As soon as you walk in there, you know, it's like walking the party, pulling out your dick. Boom, I'm here. That's it.
People know you're there.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, get this fucker the lampshade right now. Sam is choking on his spit. He's trying to kill himself right now in front of me.
Yeah, I was trying to take a sip of my drink here while Abel was explaining that story, and I'm drinking Johnny Walker Red Label on the rocks, and I was not prepared for that gulp of poison.
I don't
poison.
Drink, but I do a lot of cocaine, so if you hear me snorting, that's not me doing cocaine.
Yeah, so I asked Abel to be unpredictably drunk for a guy who doesn't really drink, and so he's just going to do a lot of drugs while I... Allegedly, while I drink. But no, so you do drink, though. I mean, I'm kidding, of course.
I do.
But
I drink socially, sure.
What are your drinks? Like, if somebody says, hey, I've got everything you can possibly want, what are you going for?
First thing, I'm going Midori Sour.
Midori Sour.
No, I'm not.
Is that with or without the roofies?
I would play, yeah.
Always.
With like a half a roofie, because you don't want to get too fucked up.
Right.
You know, but you want
to
be alive.
You want to feel alive.
Yeah, of course. You know what? This is what I do. I have a lot of beer snobs that I hang out with. And they drink all these really super potent beers, 9% alcohol, 10% alcohol beers. So what I do is I just copy what they do. And I sound really cool in front of other beer people. So my go-to right now, it doesn't matter where I'm at. First thing I ask for is Racer 5.
Racer 5. That is a beautiful IPA out of Healdsburg, okay. Bear Republic.
When they said India Pale Ale, I literally thought, I was like, damn, Fremont has gone to hell.
Yeah.
We can't even get our own American beer. We got to get shit from India. What the fuck is going on? But yes, Racer 5. So I go that. Now, it only gets you drunk. It does not taste good.
So you have to drink enough IPA so that your tongue literally dies.
Is that okay?
And then it tastes fantastic because you could drink tuna melt at that point. You don't care.
Yeah, so take a lot.
You want to ramp up your beer game a little bit. Here's what you do: you take your Racer 5, and you've heard of Pliny the Elder
and Pliny the Younger, which only comes out every February.
Yeah, we're at the tail end of the 2 week.
Look who doesn't drink, but look at me, huh?
But Pliny the Elder is out all year round.
Yes.
So if you go to a place that's got Racer 5 and Pliny on tap, ask for a Pliny 5. Half Racer, half Pliny.
Look at that. I know there's a place in Dublin that has it on tap.
What's that?
There's a place in Dublin.
Or that place closed down.
San Ramon
probably has it. Yeah.
That's right. But yeah. They have the younger and the elder when it's there.
So there you go. And also, shout out to the South Bay Beer Hounds. I know Jeremy gave me some shit for being a part of a beer club, but there's a tip for you. Pliny 5, half Pliny, half Racer 5. Put the Pliny on the bottom and the Racer on top. Float the Racer 5. It's a nice drink. It actually goes down smoother. You would think it wouldn't since it's two IPAs. But
I have no idea.
They kind of like make love, and it's a big slimy mess down your throat.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this out there. When next time you go to the taco truck, you get pastor and carne asada.
See, look at that. Look at that. Great. We each have our levels of expertise, sir. I'm learning.
That's welcome.
That's me clapping for you.
You're welcome.
So I got to say this. I got to go back to the stadium series because as a hockey fan, hockey's a very manly sport. Would you agree?
No.
You don't like hockey?
I don't understand. Like you just said, there was three of you guys. Like I expect, like hockey fans, like to me right now, this is how it goes. It goes football fans, basketball fans, baseball fans, soccer fans, hockey fans. You're the only person that I know that watched that. Okay, you're the second person I know that watches hockey, and that's it. And no one can explain it to me. When I watch it, it's really not that fucking fun. All right? And I've sat behind the goalie. I don't know if you're supposed to sit anywhere.
No. Cool. You know, it's like football. You want to sit on the 50-yard line.
Oh, God, it was horrible. What are these guys doing? This isn't fun.
Yeah, because if you're sitting behind the goalie, you run the risk of having the entire game be played on the other side.
I think that's what happened.
And that's boring.
It was a Coyotes game.
Well, there's your fucking... That's not hockey.
I don't know.
Coyotes.
It was bad.
Well,
it was like hockey. It's so cool when you get there and you watch it. And I'm like, this fucking sucks.
I think it's fantastic. I think you got to go and try it again. But here's my beef with the NHL. Okay, this is a nationally televised game. It's a stadium series. It's unique. It's outside. They're trying to grow the sport. That's what they're trying to do is they're trying to grow the sport with these things, right? They're trying to get you to watch. Trying to get me to watch. So why in the fuck do they have Melissa Etheridge doing the musical thing at intermission? Okay, why the fuck do they have American Idol winner Chris Allen doing the show before? You don't have a guy who's on a show that chicks watch do the fucking national anthem for a manly sport that you're trying to grow. You don't have Melissa Etheridge, who nobody fucking listens to. Not even lesbians listen to Melissa Etheridge anymore. And she's out there talking about come to my window. We're like, we need another $11 beer to get through this shit. Why can't we get Metallica? Why can't we get fucking Green Day? Why can't we get a rapper? Why can't we get shit that people would say, you know what? I don't know about hockey, but I heard that Jay-Z is going to do the intermission show. I'd like to check that out. That seems weird that a black guy is going to do, you know, a white sport thing. They don't do that shit. They get this milquetoast, nonsense, non-threatening music that nobody wants to listen to. And all you do is drive potential new fans away. They go, ew, Melissa fucking Etheridge. What in Jesus Christ is this?
Well, I don't know if anybody wants to embarrass themselves to be at a hockey game at this point.
They've got money. You pay. Here's the thing. The San Jose Sharks.
You can get Pitbull, okay?
Get fucking right Pitbull. Hey, you can get
Okay? Any soccer person that you see do a soccer game, you can get in, okay? So you can get Pitbull. I know you can get Coolio. All right. I think I might even have his number.
Coolio was sitting next to me at the hockey game, actually. He was...
with a dread, huh? Because that's all he has now.
It's one. It was just it's one just right in the back.
Exactly. It's
horrible. Yeah, he was like, man, this is paradise. So you you're a baseball fan, right? You're a San Francisco Giants fan.
I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. I'm a Raider fan. As I'm getting older now, I'm finding I like football less.
Really?
And less.
Why is it? That's interesting.
It's just not as fun to watch anymore. I don't know if it's because my team's been sucking for 12 years now, or if it's the fact that football's not the same anymore.
So if the Raiders aren't playing, just to cut you off, yes. If the Raiders aren't playing, and it's a regular season game between, let's say, the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans, yes. Are you watching that game?
Not even close.
You're going and doing something
I'm
else.
I'm watching the Discovery Channel, and I'll probably be watching Gold Rush for the third time, watching, like, because I love white trash TV.
So you're going to watch a reality show over football, unless it's a very important game or it's your team.
There is no important game that does not involve my team. Like that's where I'm at. Like,
so the Super Bowl hasn't existed for you for about.
I was doing laundry
years.
For the Super Bowl this year, and just kind of TiVoing it casually, you know, fast forwarding it. There was no. I like to watch Lynch break runs, so that was something to watch. The last non-football game that I enjoyed watching was when Kaepernick toasted Green Bay.
You mean non-Raiders football game?
Yeah. Non-Raiders football game. Yeah. Where I was sitting at home, I was probably doing laundry again, and I was watching that playoff game, and I was like, damn, this fucking guy he made me want to watch that game.
That was a couple years ago, right?
3 years ago, I think?
Yeah.
2 years ago?
That was like his coming out party in the playoffs?
Oh, man, that was a great game. Now, when that was a fun game. That, I was like, wow, I will watch this kid play. And then now he's just
He turned back into SpongeBob SquarePants, his little buddy
there. He's a pitcher.
So, well, I was bringing up baseball because you're a Giants fan, which I'm not going to hold against you. You guys are the Kings. I bow down to you right now.
Thank you.
But you are the Giants have this thing where, especially recently, and odd numbered years, you guys are now going to shit the bed this year. So where do you think we're going into spring training?
Mm-hmm.
You guys lost Pablo. You lost the rapey bear from third base.
Yes. I was there that night that happened.
When he raped?
Well, I didn't watch him, but I helped him put the condom on.
Oh, that's good. If you're going to rape, you want to practice safe rape.
Of course you do.
Gentlemen.
Then there's no DNA after that. Yeah. You know what I mean? You get some denatured alcohol, you wipe down the private parts, and there's nothing. I mean, I'm not
I can tell
the
show's going to do really
I'm
well with the female demographic.
Yeah. Sorry, Stace. So we were at Santa Cruz. We were at a place called Moe's Alley. And there was a reggae star there named Yellow Man. Very old, late 70s and early 80s reggae star.
I'm assuming a black guy?
An actual Yellow Man.
He's an like, Asian?
He's a black dude.
Oh.
But he's like albino with blonde hair.
Oh, so with the lighting. Like, it's like Charles Kelly with bleached hair.
And if Charles Kelly had Bell's palsy throughout his jaw. So he talks out the side of his mouth. He's blonde and yellow, but he sounds like, and then I said that, you know, like
he's got the bombastic shaggy shit going.
He's going down, right?
Yeah.
He's going down. Me and my boy there, we're having a great time, right? Hanging out. Next thing I know, my boy comes up and he's like, hey, Pablo's here. And I'm like, what? He's like, Pablo Sandoval's here. This is right after 2010, so this is 2011.
Okay. You guys just came off your first World Series
Pablo
title.
Pablo did nothing.
On the California side, yeah.
Pablo did nothing that World Series.
Okay.
Just to point out.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I was that excited to meet him because he did shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Him and Zito were the same. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, whatever. So I walk up to him. I shake his hand. I said, hey, thanks for the championship. He kind of balked at it a little bit. And then he goes, you know, he shook my hand. And then I see him. He was with Mijares and two other guys. And his brother.
Nobody knows who that is.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Giants fans, maybe.
Giants fans. Sorry. I'm getting excited. So we meet him. We sit there. Whatever. It's all good. That next morning, get up in the morning, find out Pablo has allegedly assaulted a young lady that he was with at Moe's Alley. And we saw him in the back talking to a couple of BB Dubs back there, and he was getting to know him, buying drinks, and the whole nine yards. The next thing you know,
explain BB Dubs for people that don't know.
BB Dub, that is an anagram, right?
I don't know what that word means, but no, an anagram would be if something was spelled the same way as it is.
Backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
Whatever. BB Dub stands for Big Beautiful Woman.
Oh, I always thought it was Big Black Woman.
What? No.
No?
No,
it's big, beautiful. So okay, so I had a narrow view on it.
Yeah,
but,
there's you could like, be gotcha. Chunky, okay. Brown chicks.
I'm
like,
sorry to all the non-big black women that I offended.
Like, what are all those Irish chicks with all them freckles on? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're big and they're beautiful.
Yeah,
and they're women. Have you not seen Charles Kelly's White Woman of the Day?
So Charles Kelly is quickly becoming a mythological legend on this show.
Oh, he is.
He's been talked about on the last two episodes with Jeremy Curry. He's now being talked about exclusively here on Predictably Drunk, the podcast.
Yes.
This guy is, at some point, I'm going to have to get Charles Kelly in here so people understand why we are obsessed somewhat with Snoop Dogg Charles Kelly.
Yes.
We love Mr. Charles Hollywood. Kelly. Oh, he's the best. I love that guy.
Love him.
I love that guy. So anyhow, yes. And for those that don't know Charles Kelly, find him on Facebook.
YouTube.
And YouTube. This guy is, he is the biggest dork, but the funniest ghetto-ass dork I've ever met in my life. And he's got the funniest Facebook shit you'll ever see in your life. Just you know, he does the craziest shit. I don't even want to spoil it for you guys. Just add him.
He's our friend, so you can find him on our Facebook.
Yeah. Just Charles Hoffa Kelly. Which actually, speaking of which, since we're talking about him, and I'm staring at his picture right now on my wall Wall of Fame. Charles Kelly, along with Abel Jaramillo, who joins me here, is actually going to be performing at the 420 Comedy Joke Out on Friday, April 17th at the Swiss Park in Newark, California. This is actually, Abel, you are producing this show.
I am producing this show.
You are co-producing this show with Kabir Singh, national headliner Kabir Singh. I came up with a name for your producing, too. You guys should be called Cable.
Oh, look at
that. Isn't that good?
You're good.
Kabir and Abel, Cable.
Well, you came up with the Comedy Joke Out, too.
I did come up with the name Comedy Joke
Out.
Also
made said graphics.
I did make the graphics. I was hired by you to do the graphics here. I really like this poster. I think this is one of my better works, to be honest.
I'm a little bit biased. There is an unreleased work of yours that I am in waiting, have been waiting to see. So I'm sure one of these times I'm going to see it. Sam actually did a poster for a show for us that never happened, but it was a badass poster of all of the comics in a kind of a Mike Tyson's punch out sort of style. We were all boxers in a ring, and there was a ring man and a ref, and everyone had their positions on the... It was good.
Yeah, thank you. I still have the originals on that. Maybe I'll release that with this podcast. I'll just put it on the website.
Look at that.
So people can kind of see it, because I took a lot of these little cartoon characters of boxers, and I photoshopped all of our faces onto it, put us all in a ring, had people beating the shit out of each other, had a ref, like you said, and it all worked out. But
except for the show.
The show was fine. The problem is they didn't want that poster. They wanted something that was a little...
Did we do something else?
Yeah, they wanted something that was a little more traditional, quote-unquote.
We did the show.
Oh, we weren't able to... I was not allowed to use that poster. They wanted to use something that was a little more traditional. So, you know...
What do they know?
Well, when I get hired to do it, I'm going to give you what you want. You know, and that goes for all things I get hired for. But
I saw that Craigslist ad. I didn't know you were under M4M. I pushed it, and then I saw that pic that you got. I mean, honestly,
I didn't appreciate your Yelp review of that, though.
Well,
that wasn't.
Fuck it. That's because your faux hawk got in the way down there. Next time, don't go with the faux hawk on your tank. You know what I mean? It's just tip.
So this is your second produced show. The first one you did was the Fremont Comedy Bash,
also with Kabir Singh,
and that was also at the Swiss Park. So you got a good thing going here with Swiss Park.
Yes, we have a great thing going. We got 240 people to get in there.
So you sold out. The first show that Abel has ever produced was a sellout. You actually sold it out 2 weeks before the event actually happened.
Yes, I have.
And we had to turn people away. You had to turn people away at the door. People were trying to walk up, buy tickets. Couldn't do it.
Was not to be done. And so we are hoping for a similar experience on the 17th of April. And this time we've kind of done something different. We're actually going to have a raffle. So every ticket that's bought gets you into the raffle. So
this is news. I didn't know this.
Yes. So every ticket, you come down, we take your stub, we take what's left of your little stub, we put it in the old fishbowl, and we are going to be raffling off a set of tickets to Tommy T's with a headliner, a set of tickets to the Improv, and then a set of tickets to our next event, which I'm shooting for summertime. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we're
so you're gonna try to shoot quarterly for these shows.
That's kind of what we're, you know, as long as we get a good response, we're gonna try and keep, you know, the yearly Comedy Bash going.
Yeah.
And then I figure every 3 months, have something in Fremont, because there's really, if you look at it, San Jose, Oakland, Livermore, let's say, you know, those are the closest areas that someone from Hayward to Milpitas can go and do something.
Right.
So it's kind of an untapped market. If you make it closer for someone to come down, and, you know, that goes for drinking and driving, that goes for paying for a cab, that goes for loading up all your buddies.
Yep.
If I can make it easier for them to go enjoy themselves, have just as much of a good time, and keep them close to their home, people are going to do that.
So, you know, it's funny and for those that don't know, and I want to talk about this too, this is how much fun I have with you. We're almost at the 30-minute mark, which is supposed to be the cutoff of this show.
Oops.
So you and I started comedy the same night.
Yes.
You know, I alluded to it. I think it was October, actually.
October?
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
So whatever. You can get me a present in November, too. But Abel and I, we made our debuts on the same show.
Yes.
On the same night at the same venue. So Abel and I have worked together. Sorry, Jeremy Curry. We've worked together many times. We've performed together many times. Abel is one of my, what I would consider, friends in comedy. One of the only few people that I actually hang out with outside of comedy. Or at least I would. I think we've only hung out a few times outside. But we usually hang out before and after.
There's a lot of hanging out.
Yeah. So, and not just our clothes, but like we actually physically.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, our testicles. Like,
yeah, that's right. Right. As you guys can tell, if you don't know Abel and you know me, we're very similar with our sophisticated humor. But one of the things, that it's funny because Abel and I have different types of comedy sets, right? We have different routines, obviously.
Sure.
We have different types of humor. We have different fans. And we have different strengths, I would say, too.
Yes.
Not only on stage, but within the comedy world. Like, I think you've really found your niche here with doing producing and doing the hustling. So for people that don't know, when you're in comedy, nobody ever looks out for you. I mean, very few people. Like, you might have a friend that, you know, throws you on a show or something like that. But you don't have people...
When someone bailed and you're like, oh, fuck, I need someone to help me out.
Right.
Oh, who can I call? I'll call Sam.
Yeah, hey, right. He'll be there.
He'll be there. What are you doing, buddy? Come on down.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's... It. But really what they're doing there is covering their own ass,
that's
right?
It.
It's not necessarily out of... the kindness of their heart that they're really
wanting you to do well. They
exactly.
just have to cover
they want
ass.
Exactly.
That's kind of the normal.
So in order to do anything, you kind of have to go out and do this shit yourself. And one of the things that Abel's done really well at is, you know, sometimes to rent a venue to get a show going. Like, you started that whole thing at the Swiss Park from the ground up. That's a grassroots thing. But there's a cost involved. So part of that cost is offset with sponsors. Well, Abel not only does the shows, not only helps book the comedians, not only helps get the venue, but he goes out and actually hustles and gets all the sponsors and sells, you know, basically steals money from these businesses.
Pretty much, yes.
To give to us,
yes.
To pay the comedians, to pay the talent, to pay, you know, pay the cops to stay away from the 420 comedy joke out. He's doing the right thing here with his payola scam. But you're out there hitting all, and I'm kidding, of course, but he's out there getting all the sponsors. I mean, you're out there talking. So how does that work? When you go approach a sponsor, what is your strategy?
What am I selling?
Yeah. How
first
do you approach?
Thing I do, I walk in there. I take the ski mask off. Okay? That's number one. I show them the gun is not even loaded. Okay, number two. And then I sell them on what I have. And the biggest key that I found is getting the right people with the right people. It's easy if you're having a 420 joke out to have a pizza parlor sponsor you. And
makes total sense.
After the show, have said pizza parlor have slices ready to go. Have it set up so that if they want to call in before time and say, hey, I'm going to be there at 10:45. I'm going to be there at 10:30. Have it ready for me. It's ready. You know what I mean? You want to stick.
So you're not going to a nail salon for a show that's clearly going to be, you know, pot friendly, let's say.
I think if I had to go to a nail salon, I would.
Right.
Totally.
Right.
But I put a little bit of thought in it and think, all right, where's the best place to go? You know what I mean? If I was having a bon cuicui kind of show, then yeah, I would want to go down to Tony's Nails and say, hey, this is what we're having. I think you should jump on this.
Well, let's just say you're doing like, you know, not to be sexist, but like, let's say you're doing like an all-female night, or you might want to have something going on with them. The other cool thing that Abel does is not only does he get money from them, but you're cutting deals with your sponsors for sure. Them to get business too, which is good. I mean, again, it goes against the grain of what comedy is, where you're looking out for yourself. You're actually looking out for the businesses as well, which I think's fantastic.
To me, that makes more sense, because not only do you want to give these people value for what, you know, for the actual money that they're giving you, but you make it to where they want to give it to you next time. So next time I come and I say, hey, we're doing this show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you tickets here and I'm going to have you sell tickets. So when people call me and say, hey, where do I get tickets? Boom, I send them right down to our sponsors. It's the first thing I say. Go to the sponsors, they have tickets. And then if, you know, the sponsor, like we have a tattoo shop, you know, if someone wants to make an appointment, you go down and you can say, all right, here, let me get a tattoo.
Yeah, Wicked Artistry, right?
Yes.
That's your
Fremont
tattoo?
Yeah, Fremont. So, you know, we have our other sponsor, Stay Winning. They're a clothing outfit. So if you're ready to get fitted up before the show, you go down there, you get your tickets. You get your clothes, you get your shirts, whatever you're going to get. You know what I mean? They got Jordans, the whole shebang. And that's what you're looking to do. You're making everybody feel like a star.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're making everyone feel like they're part of the circus. You know what I'm saying? So if you get people involved, it's easy to sell.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. And I think, you know, beyond just telling jokes, and where I was going with that is a lot of this shit, you know, you are self-employed when you're a comedian. There's a lot of stuff. Until you hit it big and you have agents and assistants and, you know, a Jeff Koenig for everybody.
Yeah.
You got to do a lot of this stuff yourself. And, you know, like for me, you know, my niche has been doing a lot of graphics for shows, right? You know, I have a little bit of an artistic eye for that. Doing the podcast, this is an outlet for me when I don't have shows going on. I can YouTube. Sit down here and talk shit, you know, doing my YouTube stuff. And you got to kind of get in where you fit in. And this is one of those things is like, you know, I've seen you from the very beginning to now. And this is probably, I think, one of those things where you fit in really well. And I think you actually have a future. And beyond just doing your shows, I think you could really help out a lot of people doing other shows as well.
Well, that's what it's about, too. You know what I mean? Like we had some of the comics that came out last time were saying, hey, can I pass out some something for my next show? And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
If it's ran by comics, you know, made with comics, and we're all trying to do the same thing.
We understand it, right?
And we're all helping. Like to me, it makes sense. Everybody's getting in. Everyone's getting a cut. You know what I mean? So, even down to the guests, they're feeling like big shots too.
I want to get your take on this too, because, you know, it is a little bit of a cutthroat thing. I mean, what happens in comedy more than anything is everyone's nice to each other's face, and then we all talk shit about each other behind each other's back.
Yes.
I saw it last night at the San Jose Improv between two comics that are supposed to be cool with another comic, and they all just talk mad shit about the other comic who wasn't there. And
it's horrible.
I'll tell you who it was off air.
All right, cool. I love
it. But I'm not going to dime them out. I'm not going to dime these fuckers out on the air.
It was me.
It was Abel. He was talking about me. It was me. But the thing that has been noticed in the Bay Area, which I'm very proud of and I really like a lot, is there's other comedians that have noticed that you and I, Jeremy Curry, and Kabir Singh, we all kind of look out for each other, legit look out for each other. We make sure that each other is taken care of on shows. We make sure that, you know, we're working with one another enough that, you know, we're staying in touch. And it's a little crew. It's not like we planned it. It's just kind of an organic thing that sort of happened. And I wouldn't even say that other than the fact that I think you told me that other comedians have come to you and said,
and
what you guys are doing is awesome.
Well, I think, you know what it is that, you know, we all play positions. You spoke about it earlier. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we all are a little bit better than the next one at certain positions. So if all four of us can get together and all, you know, quote unquote, play our positions, we're going to be better as a whole. And it's going to show, and it's going to make it easier for everybody involved. It's not just going to be, you know, one guy, all right, I'm doing all the graphics. Okay, what are we going to do from there? You know, or one guy doing all the heavy lifting on, you know, getting the venue. We all have our spots, and we all excel at that. And that's the best part is when we're doing what we're excelling at, the other ones look at it and go, wow, look at that fucker. But really, it's nothing to us doing it. It's a normal, everyday, this is what I do.
We just kind of slide into our natural roles, and we all, fortunately, I think we all like doing the things that we're good at, which isn't always the case, but
yeah.
We like doing the certain things that we're good at, so it works out really well, and it's really natural. And, you know, we don't even really have to talk too much before. You and I probably plan more than anybody else, but that's because we like talking and doing all that shit.
We like hearing our voice.
Yeah, I mean, just like anything else. I got to talk to you about that, too. I got to talk to you about comedians on Facebook. I got to talk to you about Abel busted the shit out of his leg on his motorcycle. We need to talk about that. I need to talk to you about your cousin and see if we can reel that maniac in. We got a lot to talk about. You cool to stick around for another show?
I am looking forward to it.
We're going to do another show. We're going to talk a little bit less about the comedy business, a little bit more about Abel and the type of stuff he's doing. I just got a note here that I really wanted. This is called a tease, right? So they'll come back the next week. But before we leave, another show. You know, we talked about the 420 comedy joke out on April 17th. But you got a cool thing coming up. You're working. Abel is going to, on a Friday night. So for the comedy people out there, the uninformed, the ill-informed, if you will, Friday and Saturday nights, those are the gigs. Those are the paying gigs. That's the big audience. That's when you do your shit. So Abel is out there at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale on Friday night, March 6th. You're featuring that night.
I'm featuring.
You're going to be doing a long-ass set.
Do 20 minutes.
You're doing a 20-minute set. You're dropping a 20-minute bomb on these fuckers.
Yes.
Have you ever worked at Rooster Tea Feathers before?
I have not. I'll be popping my cherry on the stage.
Popping your cherry on stage at Rooster Tea. It's a great club.
Good.
It's one of, what, four or five official comedy clubs in the Bay Area. I've had the opportunity to work there. It's interesting. It's right next door to like an oil changing place. So if your car is ready for some maintenance, drop that shit off, drop your set, then go get your car afterwards.
I like that. Good enough.
But check them out. It's Rooster Tea Feathers, March 6th. Hit you up on Facebook for discounted tickets, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show.
Hit me up on Facebook for anything. Send me, you know, weird pictures.
Dick pics.
Well, I
That's what you told me.
Well, that was in a text too. I mean, I didn't know you were going to talk about that right here.
Well, hey, let's wrap this episode up because we're at a hefty 37 minutes already. So I just want to say thank you for joining me today. I'm going to get my plugs in because it's my fucking show and I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
March 14th at Cafe Fresh for Fresh Funnies in Honolulu, Hawaii. Check that out. Come in, drop my name.
Now.
March 18th. That's a Wednesday. March 14th is a Saturday night. March 18th, Wednesday at Anna O'Brien's as part of the Comedy U show. That's going to be in Honolulu, Hawaii as well. I'm going to unveil a couple of shows that I just got booked on May 29th and May 30th in Reno, Nevada.
Hey.
The Pioneer Underground. Fucking Stockton with casinos. Thank you, Jeremy Curry. The Pioneer Underground. One show Friday night, two shows on Saturday, May 29th and Saturday, and May 30th. And then again, you can catch Abel on March 6th. At the Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, and then April 17th at the 420 Comedy Joke Out at Swiss Park in Newark, California. Thank you guys for joining us here on Predictably Drunk. We'll see you again next time.